Are we on?
Yes, should be on.
Amen. We're probably getting there. Amen. Y'all hear me? See me? Can you smell me? Amen. Amen. Yes, see. Give me a little more volume if you don't care. My voice is not as strong as Brother Dean's. My goodness. Wow. I remember the first church I pastored. Yeah, that sounds more like it. Amen. First church I pastored at, I guess, was called Kings Road Baptist Church. That's the name of it. And so I stayed there 9 months. And what I found out was the king was not there. Amen. It didn't take me long to find that out. He was not there. And so, but anyway, my voice is so strong back then. They had started building, and I was pastoring in the basement, really. And they had a flat roof on it, and they had these poles, steel poles that was set up, you know, to hold up the roof, I guess. And I had a way of saying God back then with some force. And I would say something about God, and those steel poles would go, mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. Emma Carolyn. Of course, Andy wouldn't know. He don't know. But anyway, that's what happened. And so my voice is not there now. But anyway, so I appreciate microphones. I really do. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Appreciate Brother Dean's message, don't y'all? Amen. I'm glad he lives. Do you know, I don't know. A lot of people got different desires to do things, I reckon. But for whatever reason, I have never had a desire to go to the Holy Land. And do you fuss about? No. I mean, anybody wants to go, I mean, I'm for them. But I just ain't never had that desire to go. In my heart, I already know the tomb's empty. I already know. You know, I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be any more blessed if I saw the hole in the ground with a rock roll from it. I wouldn't be any more blessed. Amen. I'm looking at one verse of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13. Look at this verse. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You may be seated. I want to pray with you. Then I'm going to look at this tonight and just try to magnify the Lord a little. Father, I'm coming to your throne again today. And I want to thank you, dear Father. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And your ears are open to their prayers. Father, I want to thank you that nothing in this day for any of us has caught you by surprise. I want to thank you, dear God, that you know everything there is to know. And that, Lord, you're much aware of where we are. And, Lord, what our needs are. And, Lord, I want to ask of you now that you would speak to our hearts as we, God, try to give you word out. And, Father, will you help us somehow to relate to these people what, Father God, you've let our hearts feel and let our hearts know. Our Father, I thank you for Brother Scott and this church and, Father, Lord, the good things we hear and the services we get to view occasionally. And, Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the lives that are being touched. I thank you for these young people, Lord, that you're assembling here and that you're touching their life. I thank you, dear God, that you're working your purposes out in them. And I'm asking, Lord, to continue to do that. Lord, I am so grateful for that verse said that it's the Lord that works in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. And I pray that, Lord, you would work in every heart here tonight. That, Lord, we that are born again, that, Lord, we'd be wanting to do your good pleasure. For those that may not be saved, I pray you'd speak to them clearly. That, Lord, that they would understand where they are and what their need is. We'll honor you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. I want us to look at this verse, and I was praying today, early this morning. I was meeting the Lord, And the Lord just deeply impressed my heart that he wanted me to deal with this subject tonight. And it'll not be anything that's new to you. But if you'll look in verse 13 again, we know the verse. Most of you have been in church any time. You've read it, you've heard it, you preached it. At least you've heard preaching about it. But nearly in the middle of the verse, here's the statement you'll find. It said, but God is faithful. Look what it said. It said, but God is faithful. I want to try to preach tonight just a little bit on the faithfulness of God in relationship to man. Is God faithful? Now, is God faithful? Well, let's begin our thinking tonight by just defining what faithful is. With what you know about God and you, in your own mind and thinking about him, here's what the word faithfulness means. It means trustworthy. Is God a trustworthy God? Is God a trustworthy God? Is God trustworthy when the sun is shining? Is God trustworthy when it's not shining? Is God trustworthy when I'm on the mountain? Is God trustworthy when I'm in the valley? Is God trustworthy when I can get a glimpse of him? And is God trustworthy when I can't even sense him at all? Yes. And so the word means trustworthy, but it means dependable. Is God dependable? Does this describe the God that you know something about? Is God a dependable God? Or is God such a God that he is dependable today and he's off tomorrow? Oh no. See, the word trustworthy, mean faithful, means he is trustworthy, he's dependable, and he is reliable. Amen. Now, when you start reading the Word of God, I'm telling you, the Word of God is filled with scriptures that magnify God's faithfulness. And so, what would be some of them? Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithful and truth. Amen. Here's the one you really know, no doubt. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. And the Word of God said, listen now, but the Lord is faithful. Here's one that I love. Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I remember when I first read that verse in Psalm 36:5. And it said, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And you know, when you get to thinking about it, I mean, just surface thinking, that doesn't mean much. Because, I mean, I've mounted an airplane before, and I have ridden above the clouds and seeing the silver line out there. But you got to understand, though, God, what this Bible verse was written before there was an airplane, before there was a balloon, before there was any way of getting up above the clouds. And so to the psalm writer, when he said, thy faithfulness reacheth than the clouds, he is saying, thy faithfulness is farther than I can reach. No matter how high you excel, God's faithfulness goes higher. Amen. Amen. And so when those men were in the neighbor of the spaceship, and they circled the moon, they landed on the moon, and so they went out and said, walked on the moon. Can I say, that's a long way up there. But God's faithfulness didn't stop at the moon. Amen. God's faithfulness did not stop. God's faithfulness has gone far beyond that. Amen. Hallelujah. 200 million galaxies out yonder somewhere, and millions of stars in every one of them. And neighbor, if you could get on the other side of them, guess what you'd find? You'd find the God that's still faithful. You'd find the God that's still trustworthy. You'd find the God that's still reliable. Amen to God. So with that said in mind, tonight I want to say a few things about some areas that we can see that God is faithful in. Number one, God is faithful in his service to mankind, to this universe. God is faithful to this universe. Now, here's the scripture. When Noah got off the ark, here's the scripture God gave. He said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, Has that been some 4,000 years? Has that not been some 4,000 years ago since Noah got off the ark and neighbor and God gave that verse? Can I say this? There's not been one year when there wasn't a winter. There's not one year when there wasn't a summer. There's not been one year when there wasn't heat. There's not one year when there wasn't cool. There's not been one year, one day when there was not a night, when there's not a day. Why? Because God is a faithful God. Amen. He's faithful, neighbor. He's faithful to his service to creation. God is faithful in supplying a Savior. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to think just a moment. Lord, help us to get this out. Here's what God said. In Genesis 3, that God's creation, man, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Now, they've sinned against God. They've fallen. And so the judgment of God now is on them. But in the process, here's what God said. He said, I will put envy between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, if you're a Bible reader, you know that that is the first promise of God, that God's going to send a Messiah. That is God's first promise. He's going to give a Redeemer this earth. Well, that is God's promise. How faithful is God to send a Savior? Well, let me just touch our mind to this area. Number one, to send the Savior in this world, God is faithful in spite of everything Satan could do. Amen. I'm telling you, God said, and by the way, when God said, he said, the seed of the woman is going to bruise our head. You better know, Satan knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew that God was going to send somebody that was going to give him a heap of trouble. Amen. Oh, praise God. And so, is God faithful? Yes, he is. So, in spite of everything Satan could do, neighbor, God is sending him. I'm thinking about that verse in Revelation 12, where God said, there was a wonder seen in heaven. There was this woman that's expecting a child. And so, and we know who that is. We know that's the nation of Israel. And the Bible said, there was another great wonder there. There was a red dragon that was just crouched ready to devour that child when the child was born. Amen. And that is synonymous of what Satan has always tried to do. From the very beginning, he sought a way to try to devour the seed before the seed ever came. But can I say, God has shown himself faithful in the promise in spite of everything Satan could do. Now listen to me a moment. Is God sovereign? Yes, he is. Is God an all-knowing God? Yes, he is. Does God know the end from the beginning? Absolutely. If that is so, then don't you listen to me. If God knows the end from the beginning, here's what God knew. When Jesus Christ would come in this world and die on the cross of Calvary, God knew every nerve ending in the Lord's body. He knew every lash of that cat of nine tails he would take. He knew the crown of thorns that would be in his head. He knew every time they would smite him. He knew every hair on his face that would be plucked out. He knew everything that Jesus Christ would suffer. Are you hearing me tonight? Everything Jesus Christ would go through, the Father knew beforehand. Every pain he would have. What would you do if you knew your son, if you knew your daughter was going to face some terrible, horrible situation? Would you not step in? Would you not guide them in another area so they wouldn't have to go that way? But the Father, oh my, the Father knowing every pain Jesus would suffer, the Father knowing that he would have to turn his back on the Son of God for a time, the Father knowing every pain he would have, the Father said, although I know everything he's going to go through, Although I know every pain, I must be faithful to my word. Amen. No matter what Jesus would suffer, God knew all about it. But God is such a character that knowing all that Jesus would go through, he said, in a sense, I will be faithful to my character. Amen. Amen. Can I say this tonight? God's neighbor is faithful, giving us a Savior in spite of the sinfulness of man. The Word of God said in Genesis 6 that every imagination of man was only evil content. Oh, listen, if it had been me and you, if it had been you or I, and we'd have been in God's place, we'd have saw the wickedness of man, we'd have saw that every imagination of man was only evil continually, you you and I would have said, this is a useless project. Bring it to an end. Amen. Aren't you glad God can look beyond the sin? Aren't you glad God can look beyond what man has done? And God looked beyond all that and said, I will be faithful to my promise to send a Savior in this world. Amen to God. Amen. And God is faithful in spite of sin. He's faithful in spite of the judgment of the flood. And listen to me now. He is faithful in spite, neighbor, of human ingenuity to help God. Have you ever tried to help God out? Have you ever tried to help the Lord? Well, here God is. He's saying the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. Here, now down the road, here comes Sarah now. And Sarah says, we must help God out a little bit. We must help God bring the promise in. So she devised a plan to have her handmaiden give to Abraham in order to bring in the Savior. But can I say this? In spite of the ingenuity of man, neighbor, God did not let that influence him to bring the Savior in. Amen. In spite of people like Athaliah in the Old Testament, when Athaliah, neighbor, saw a neighbor that her one of her sons was dead, she killed her own children, killed her own grandchildren. And listen, God, oh my, even when there was a murderer like Athaliah come on the scene to try to stamp out the seed, God had Jehoshaphat in line. Amen. Every time there was a storm, God had got somebody in place. There was little Jehoshaphat, that is the sister of Ahaziah, and that she saw Joash is going to get murdered, and she hid him in Abraham the temple for 6 years. Can I tell you this? God knew beforehand what was going to happen, and God said, I am going to be faithful to my promise of seeing this Savior. Amen. Amen. Y'all listen to me today. Oh, listen to me now. And can I tell you this? In spite of 400 years of God not saying a word, when Malachi penned the last word, when the period was put down in the last sentence in the book of Malachi, there was 400 years in which God said nothing, looked like God did nothing. It looked like God had forsaken Israel. It looked like God had forsaken the world. But God is a faithful God. Amen to God. Amen. And one day there's a little girl, neighbor, and she's just a precious little girl. And the Bible said, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel appeared to her. Amen. And he said, thou art highly favored. Behold, the Lord is with thee. Are y'all listening to me today? And when all was said and done, he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and that which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. 400 years of silence, and suddenly out of nowhere comes an angel of God to give a word. I'm still faithful to my promise. Amen to God. Amen to God. And old John the Baptist out there, praise God, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, baptizing them, refusing to baptize the non-repentant. Amen. John looked down the road and he saw this man coming. Oh yeah. And John said to some of his disciples, he said, look, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here's what I'm saying. In Genesis 3:15, God said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. That is my promise. And there were 1,000 years gone by. And John the Baptist said, there he is. There he is. You know what that's saying? That is saying God is faithful to his promise to bring the Savior. Amen. Y'all listen today. Number whatever, God is faithful to save sinners. Aren't you glad today? Listen. Aren't you glad today that you've got a message that says, whosoever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen to God. The Bible said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm telling you, I'm not a Calvinist. I've got no time for Calvinism. Amen. That's exactly right. You know why? I've got a gospel message. That is to whosoever will. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. There's not a sinner, in this world that's come to God, God's way, and God turned them down. Amen to God. But Brother Wells, I know somebody that came and didn't get saved. I promise you this. If there was somebody you know, they came to the altar to get saved, and they didn't get in, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Somewhere in the background of those people's lives, they've got some sin that they're locked on to, and they're not going to turn loose of, or God would have saved them. Amen. God said, all that come, I'll save them. Amen. Does anybody remember the day you came?
Yes.
Does anybody remember the day you came? Does anybody remember the day you met Him and God saved you? He didn't turn you away. Thank God. Amen. Amen. You know why? He's faithful to save sinners. Hallelujah. He is faithful to save sinners. He is faithful to secure the believer. Listen to me now. I don't know where you folks are. I think I do. I think if you attend a meeting like this, I think I know what you're identified with. But I want to tell you this. If you're born again and saved by God's grace, God is faithful to secure you. Amen to God. I've given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I love the next verse. He said, I and my Father are one. Amen. Amen. What are you saying? Here's what God said. He is saying, when I saved you, you are secure. I am faithful to secure you, and nothing can take you out of my hand. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever doubted your salvation? Come now. Now that makes four of us that are honest. The rest of you just lying. Amen. Doubted salvation. Well, have you ever felt abandoned of God? Now, y'all, this straight answer. You ever felt that God had walked off and left you? And you couldn't find God? Do you know, if you're born again, you're no less secure them hours than you were the hour you felt it strong? Amen. I'll tell you, brother, God is a faithful God. God's security is not dependent upon, listen to me now. God's security is not dependent upon what you do, but upon His power. Amen. We're kept by the power of God through faith in the salvation ready to be revealed the last time. It is not my power that keeps me saved, but it's the power of God that keeps me in. Amen. 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 Come on now, let me digress. Do y'all remember? You remember the poem about the footprints in the sand? Now, I believe I'm right. Willard Thomas wrote that. He wrote that to a young Bible school student, and it got away from him before he got it copyrighted. Now everybody uses it. Y'all listen to me. Here it is now. Two sets of footprints on the seashore. Now there's only one. And the poem basically says, God, why did you leave me? Why did you let me walk alone? And of course, you know the poem. It's not that he's walking alone, but it's that God is carrying him where the poem goes. Can I say, I know that's not inspired scripture, but I'm telling you, it's inspired truth. Amen. God's called, no matter how you feel, if you're born again, no matter how lost you feel, no matter down and out you feel, there's a God, thank God, it said, I will not let you go. You are mine. Amen to God. And I will secure you forever. Amen to God. Don't listen to that tonight. I'm talking to you about a truth from God. God said, I'm faithful to secure you. Amen. Amen. Hang with me now. Not only is God faithful to secure us, but God is faithful, dear friend, to school us. I want you to listen to me a moment now. God is faithful to put you in school. If you're born again and saved by God's grace, here's what God promises you. The Bible said this clearly now. It said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you are born again tonight, here's God's promise to you. I'm not going to let you walk alone. You start moving away from me, I will work to bring you back in. God will not allow you to walk alone. God's promise to school you. Why? He wants to make you like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all listen to me tonight. I'm about done to where I want to go. Don't you listen to me now. Do y'all believe that God is a faithful God? Come on now. Say it out loud. Do you believe God's a faithful God? All right, I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Timothy. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. I really want you to turn to it, if you will. I want you to see these verses I'm about to read to you. And I'm going to show you how faithful God is. You know he's faithful. You know God's a faithful God. You know that. But how trustworthy is God? How dependable is God? Are you there? Are we going to read verse number 11? Stay with me now. Stay with me. It is a faithful saying. Y'all agree with that? You believe that book you got in your hand is a faithful saying. Amen. Look what it said. It's a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come here now. Come here. It said, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, if I'm dead with him, then I'm supposed to be dead to me too, right? Y'all listen to me now. So when God saves me, see, when Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. When Christ got up, I got up. When Christ died, I died. And when he saved me, the Bible said that God baptized us in the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes? Yes.
Amen.
So I'm supposed to be dead to me, right?
Right?
When Christ saves me, I'm supposed to be dead to me, right? My life, now the Bible said, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which is God, right? 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 Got a question for you. So since you've been born again, how many days have you lived for yourself? How many days? And see, you're not supposed to do that. He said, for we're dead. And what did he say? He said, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Right? But every one of us sitting here tonight, we have taken the body, Jesus, that belongs to him. And we have used it for our own personal resources and gain. Is that right? Look at your Bible. The Bible, look at what it said now. Verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Praise God for that millennial reign. We shall reign. Hello, God makes me mayor of Mars Hill. No, not me. Amen. Hey, man. Hey, we're going to reign with him. We suffer. We're going to reign with him. Is that true? Is that what it said? Do y'all believe in the millennial reign of Christ? Well, if y'all don't, you just heard it. Amen. We're going to reign. We're going to reign with him. But wait a minute. Look what it said now. Look what it said. If we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. Are you listening now? Let me give you a scenario. Now listen. So I live in this community. And three doors out from me, there's this guy that hates my guts. He despises the ground I walk on. And he's threatened to shoot me if I ever step on his porch and ever offer to give him a tract. He has threatened to relieve me of my life. Church visitation day is on Thursday. We have decided that my community would be the community that we're going to visit. Listen. And I know the possibility of suffering is mine. If I step on the third porch down from my house. So I say to my visitation partner, I said, you take that side, I'll take this side. Do you know what I've just done? You have just done? I have successfully avoided suffering. Let me tell you something. There's not a single one of us that's trying to serve God. But what we have in some way, learned how to avoid suffering in our life. Look what it said. The Bible said, if we suffer, we'll reign with Him. Yeah, but we've been masters of avoiding it. We've been mastered at shunning it. We've been mastered of working around suffering. Amen. We know that guy on the job, neighbor that hates my guts, takes his break at 10 minutes to 10. So we ask the boss if we can take ours at 10 after 10. Look now, I'm getting down here where we live. Now watch your Bible. Watch what it said. Watch it now. The Bible said, if we suffer, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Praise God, I ain't never denied Him. But Lord, I tell you, preacher, I've never denied Him. All right, now, come here now. So in the dark of the night, in the dark of the night, darker than outskirts of Greenville, amen. Listen, there you are laid in your bed, and you got a brother that's lost without God. God knocks on your heart. And He says, get up, pray for your brother now. Lord, I work all day long so hard. Lord, it's been hard all day. And so, Lord, I'll pray for him first thing in the morning. Let's read that verse again. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. We've just denied Him His way. Have you ever disobeyed Him? Come here now. Have you ever disobeyed Him? Has He ever asked you to do something and you did not do it? Come here now. What you've done is you've just denied the owner of your body the right to use your body He bought for His honor and glory. You've denied Him. Boy, are we not good, strong Christians? Boy, aren't we powerful? I'm telling you, don't we deserve a medal for being a Christian? Come here. But I want you to see how faithful God is, Zach. Look at that book. Look at it. Said, if we be dead with Him, we are to live with Him. And we know we live for self. We suffer. We are raised with Him. We know we avoid it. If we deny Him, we know we've done that. But look at verse 13. Put your eyes on 13. Put your eyes on it. If we believe not, since you got born again, have you ever believed not? Come here now. Have you ever believed not since you got born again? Have you ever had a time in your life where you had a faithless situation? Huh? But how faithful is God? Whew. Look at it. God tells you how faithful I am. If you believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What's that mean? Here is what that means. When I got born again and saved by God's grace, God baptized me in the body of the Son of God. I am in Christ. And if God denies me, He denies His body. Amen to God. Though I have been faithful, though I've denied Him, though I've avoided suffering, though I've lived for myself, God says, I want you to know this is how I am. If you believe not, what do you say? He cannot deny Himself. Are y'all trying to tap into that? This is how faithful God is. Yeah. I'm telling you, He is a faithful God. Amen. I want to give you this. When We lived in Dalton, Georgia. My wife and I been married a year and a half, I think. Andy was born. And God called me to go to Bible college when Andy was five. Was it how four? Four or five. Listen a minute. Listen to me. Listen. So we left our hometown. We moved to Atlanta to go to Bible college. Well, when we left, Andy had a German shepherd. His name was King. He was one of the biggest German shepherds I had ever seen. Andy could ride him like a horse. I'm telling you, he was that big. We had set Andy on him, and Andy's feet wouldn't even drag the ground. He was a huge dog. We moved away from Dalton to Bible College in Atlanta. I miss my doggie. We're out in this little area we lived. I mean, we lived in the city, but in the country. It's a long story, but we're there. One day, there was a German shepherd showed up on our front porch. Beautiful, silver German shepherd. Andy, and we didn't know where it came from. And that dog took to Andy like they were born together. I'm telling you. They were made for one another. So in a few days, a man knocked on the door. And he says, "Do you have this German shepherd?" "Yeah." And he said, "Well, the dog is mine. So there's no choice. I mean, it's his dog, so you let the dog go." So we sit down at the supper table, and sad, sorrowful. And about 10 minutes later, the German shepherd is on our porch. The owner came back and said, "When I was leaving, that dog liked to eat me up." So what are you saying? Does God care for the little things? Yeah. God is so faithful to his children that he wants his children's child to be blessed with the dog that he missed. Well, I got another one to give you. Does anybody here remember the Texaco fire helmets? Well, raise your hand. I want to see if you do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And Andy is 5 years old. Carolyn, I'm in Bible college, and Carolyn is working at the First Baptist Church in Conley as a secretary while I'm in college. Andy says, "I'd like to have one of those fire chief fire helmets. It's got a light on it and siren on it, all that stuff." And one day, Carolyn came home and she says, "This lady at our church was cleaning her attic out, and she found this brand new Texaco fire chief helmet." You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God is faithful. Amen. God is a faithful God. Hallelujah. Have you not ever had God to do things like that for you just simply because God is a faithful God? Amen. God wants you to know, "I'm dependable when the sun is shining. I'm dependable when it's cloudy. I'm dependable when it's fair weather. I'm dependable when it's stormy. I'm a dependable God." Amen. I give you this, and I'm done. I read this. This guy's name, Angelo Del Plato. At least that's what the story said. Angelo Del Plato, an Italian. He's unmarried. He loves riding motorcycles. He has a collie dog. We'll name it Buster. And Angelo Del Plato loves his dog, does things with his dog. Angelo Del Plato was killed on a motorcycle. The day they put Angelo Del Plato in the ground, Buster, his collie dog, according to his neighbors, was standing on the outskirts of the cemetery, watching in bewilderment as they put his master in the grave. When everybody has gone and left the cemetery, Buster slips in and lays down on his master's grave and whines and cries, lays there deep in the night, and gets up and goes back to his house. His neighbor said, for 8 years, Buster went every day, laid on his master's grave. Laid for a spell, he got up, went home. When they locked him up in a doghouse, he would find a way to get out. When they chained him to a post, he would find a way to break it so he could be at his master's grave and lay down. Do you know what Angelo Del Plato did for Buster? He bought him dog food. He fed him dog food. He gave him a dog house to live in. And he was faithful to Master that fed him dog food, gave him a dog house to live in. Would I let a dog be more faithful to his master than I am to mine? My master has never fed me dog food. My master's never fed me dog food. My master's fed me the best. Amen. My master's fed me from the master's table. Amen. My master's never given me a dog house to live in. Matter of fact, my master's prepared for me a mansion. Amen. And I'll let a collie dog be more faithful to his master than I'm going to be to mine. Not on your life. Not on your life. Not on your life. Amen. Angelo Del Plato could never give his dog eternal life. Amen. But my master's given me eternal life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Does anybody here know that you've got a faithful God? Does anybody here know that the God that saved you, and let me give you something. Listen. In 1958 or 59, I was playing football and they injured my left leg. And you understand, that was before the days of arthroscopic surgery. Son, it was lay them open and take it out. Amen. Y'all listen. So they did surgery on my knee. And I worked with that thing. And you know, it's good and it's bad. It's good and it's bad. So in 2016, it gave me such trouble. I said, I'm going to the doctor and see what he says. So I went to Dr. Nadod. He looks like Dr. Spock. He looks like Spock on what was it? Space, what is it? Star Trek. That's what he really looks like. Except the pointed ears. And he said, Mr. Wells, he said, there's only one thing you could do for your knee. He said, we've got to do a complete knee replacement. Here's what happened. That left knee, dear brother, had given me so much aggravation and so much trouble and so much problems. I said, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of putting up with you. I am going to discard you for another one. He put me in the body. I've given him a lot of trouble. I've given him a lot of problems. But he not one time had ever decided to discard me for another one. Amen to God. Praise God. God is a faithful God. He'll not deny himself. Amen to God. Somebody ought to come unglued and bless him in the name of God for being faithful to you. Only you know how sorry you've been. Only you know how unfaithful you've been. But this God of heaven said, I will be faithful to you. Amen to God. Amen. Bless his sweet name. Amen. He's good. I think, by the help of the Lord, I will be faithful to him. Amen. Amen. If you're not saved, man, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge me the last day. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. Yes, he will forsake you for eternity if you're not born again. Dear Father, let me thank you. Dear Father, let me praise you. And I ask you to give me help in my spirit to praise you. I ask you to give me help in my soul to magnify you and to honor you. And I want to thank you, dear God, knowing all you've known about me. Lord, seeing all my frailties, seeing all my dear God, inconsistencies, Father, I know that you've seen them all. You know even more than I know about myself. But I want to thank you. You've never decided to discard me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these dear people that are here tonight that's listened patiently while we try to give you word out. Use this message and Brother Dean's message. Use it to help people. We'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen.